Want unbreakable ransomware protection while cutting storage costs in half or more? Myota's patented technology encrypts, shards, and spreads your data across multiple locations, guaranteeing security and recovery against cyber attacks. Try it free at myota.io. That's myota.io. Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. And today I have the privilege of having a conversation with Johnny Yu, who is the Research Manager of Infrastructure Software Platforms Worldwide Infrastructure Research at IDC. That was quite a mouthful here, but we're going to talk about backups in a containerized world. It's been a really hot topic over the last several years, and a lot of organizations and also individuals have moved into containerized workloads. And so we're going to talk about some of the strategies for reliability and backups. So, Johnny, welcome to the Gumbo. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am doing well. It's just a little cold here.
Yeah, I'm up in Boston where we're kind of used to this around this time.
Awesome. So before we dive in here, maybe you could give us some information or something cool that you are working on right now as far as your work at IDC.
Sure. So yeah, like you said earlier, I'm a research manager at IDC, and I focus primarily on enterprise data protection and a category that we call container data and infrastructure management, which is a bit of a mouthful, but it's our term to kind of encapsulate all the technology that's necessary for supporting container applications, but not necessarily running them. So nothing on the development side and everything on the admin side. That includes protecting the containerized applications and their data. So that's kind of like where that intersection is between container and data protection, which is kind of the area that I cover. And yeah, so one of the things that's like really interesting in this space right now is there is a lot of movement into containers, rising applications because of VMware, strangely, like the people who are trying to move, basically lower their dependency on VMware. So it's strange how like it's new technology, people are adopting it, and obviously it's getting the organic growth from that. But then like this VMware situation is also driving some of that growth too, which is very interesting.
It definitely is. And just kind of also before we really get deep into the subject here, I'm curious about some of the just the differences in backing up containerized applications compared to traditional applications, because there's quite some difference. And so you have the whole monolithic, right, versus scale out architectures, and just a new way of doing things and having and allowing applications to kind of be free, right? Because have things kind of spin up when they need to and then spin down when they're no longer needed. Ephemeral versus I only want to run this for the only amount of time that I need to in order to get this specific task done, right? So what are you seeing? What are some of the biggest differences there?
Sure. Yeah. And you hit the nail on the head on like kind of the basic differences between the use cases of containerized applications versus the, you know, traditional ones running on VMs, and the kind of challenge that kind of poses. Because so kind of taking a step back and looking at this from an infrastructure or architecture, I guess, point of view of like how these different applications would be architected. So like a traditional application would typically be running on a VM, and it's on a one application per VM basis. So when you look at how backup is usually done for the VMs and the data that they generate, you know, if we're not talking about like a ephemeral stateless kind of application where we actually have data that we want to persist, then in situations like that, it's usually you back up the entire VM because that was the VM that the application is more or less, you know, married to. So it's like capturing the VM is as good as capturing the application. And when you're looking in the container world, you can't do that because containerized applications aren't built on a single VM. They're built on a cluster within a which might be distributed across multiple servers, and there's no like operating. The whole point is there's no operating system attached to like some kind of environment that the application then runs in. So there's no more application is attached to the VM kind of a situation anymore. So you need to be able to capture everything in the container, basically, which might span multiple servers, might not be part of it, might be running on one VM and then one's running somewhere else or something like that. So like you need a level of granularity that the that traditional backup that was designed for virtualized or traditional applications, like they weren't really built for that level of granularity. Because you need to get down to a level where you can, well, one, down to the container level, but also understand like everything associated with that application. And as I said, it might be distributed across multiple servers. And so, this opens up another can of worms of like, now you need to be able to coordinate a restore job across multiple servers if it is like a distributed application like that, but also understand something more basic, like understanding the relationships between all the app components, like the YAML files, config files, runtimes, et cetera, everything that makes up the application. So therein lies the challenge is why there's like the differences between the traditional and the containerized application.
And I also remember that maybe I should have asked you a little bit about the history of how do we get to where we are today, where we are, you and I, we're sitting here and we're talking about this thing called containerized applications. And I know I've been in the backup and recovery industry now, which is synonymous to data protection and also synonymous to cybersecurity because of things like ransomware, right? It's just about like how do we get here as far as the architectures changing and shifting, and we have AI and ML out there now. What's your take on the evolution, kind of what brought us to where we are today, Johnny?
It's really an interesting story because the original idea behind containers was we'll make very lightweight, stateless applications that we are like the plan really was like spin them up, spin them down, and they do their thing, and then they're done. There's no persistent data or anything, and it was meant to be lightweight because it's not bound to a VM. You don't have to like run an operating system in an own like containerized is probably not the best word to describe it, but like its own little virtual machine, because now you're adding like a bit of overhead just to like do one simple task, because that was the point of these applications is to do something pretty simple. So that was like kind of where containers started. And it was a stateless world. There was no need to persist anything. Because of the efficiency gains of like basically boiling down applications to the point of like these are all the components necessary to run it, and now you're telling me, oh, you don't need to put it in a VM which needs its own OS and it's all this overhead and stuff. You mean you can make it even smaller and faster and more efficient? Then it's like, oh, and more portable. That's also another big deal too. Then there started to be an inkling, an idea of why don't we start, running more applications like this. And so the original use case, the original like idea of what containerized applications were going to be have kind of shifted to, all right, now we will do some like we'll do stateful applications. We will need persistent volumes, persistent data. And the biggest thing that I think would be like the change that I noticed is the majority of containerized applications now and what organizations are intending to deploy aren't greenfield. Like they're not creating new applications from scratch with container, like with the containerized architecture in mind. They're trying to take existing legacy applications that they're already running and trying to break down like that monolithic architecture and make it work in a containerized way. And that's difficult. Not just the containerization itself is difficult, but the like think of all the stuff that's attached to a legacy application that your organization's been running for like 5 years or a decade or 2 decades or whatever. It's like you probably then have to figure out, well, how do you back it up? How do you secure it? How do you migrate it? Like all these like supporting tasks that you would have to be able to do with this application, they don't work the same way anymore when you containerize it because you've fundamentally changed, refactored its entire architecture. So not everything's going to work exactly the same way anymore. And so that's kind of like the big shift that I've been noticing and why, IDC has to like create this entire category around everything that supports the containerized application because it's not the same stuff. You can't use the same tools as you did for like, an application that's just running in a VM.
I also want to ask you, what are some of the challenges that organizations run into with backups in particular around for containerized workloads? Because you can't do it the same old-fashioned way just from the traditional way of, installing the backup application on that virtual machine or even before that, right? You actually install that on the operating system of that physical box that you were running on. And then there was some configuration that needed to be done, and then maybe an agent, right, that needed to be installed in case it was like an Oracle database or Microsoft Exchange, right? Depending on what that application was, there was a completely different way of doing it. But what are some of the challenges now of doing it this containerized way, especially with backups?
And like the one of the big ones is definitely having the right tools. So like you said, like there's you can't just do it the traditional way anymore. And like, if you've been using a Veeam or a Commvault or a Veritas or whatever software, you can't use the same stuff anymore for a containerized application because like I said, like they're just architectured differently. That's becoming, I guess, like less of a challenge now, I guess, because there are tools out there. Like the vendors I mentioned all have more or less released entirely separate products. It's not just, oh, update Commvault and now it can back up Kubernetes. Like they've actually had to release like separate products for it because, like I said, like the apps themselves are architectured differently. The backup is architectured di differently. Like, it has to be granular. It has to understand all the different components, has to be able to coordinate restore jobs across multiple servers, blah, 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 blah. It needs to be able to do all those things. So it's like you can't just like patch your existing backup product and suddenly it works for that. No, like they had to start from the ground up. And so in terms of like of are the tools out there? The answer is yes now. You look back about like 2 or 3 years, like it was a little bit more difficult. But nowadays, I would say the there are vendor tools out there that can do container backup. But now, where the challenges have really shifted into more organizational type challenges, like lack of expertise around containers and Kubernetes in general. Like backup administrators, they're used to like the working on the storage and the IT side, and so they're not really familiar with the world of containers and Kubernetes, which is more the DevOps playground. And so there's it's really hard to find like someone who works on the backup or IT side of things who understands containerized applications, to the point that someone on the development side might. And I think that kind of like that lack of expertise does like kind of like hold people back a bit in terms of like how well they can administrate it. And like that's one of the things though, right? Like hopefully this will grow over time as the technology gets more adopted and it's still early days, still very nascent, but that is one of the challenges that people are that I've noticed are running into. And then the also similarly related to that while we're on the topic of how it's organizational, then it becomes from an organizational standpoint, who is responsible for backing up containerized applications, because like yeah, the developers, the people who built the apps are more intimately familiar with the applications and understand the components enough that they can go like, hey, this needs to be backed up, like these are the pieces that need to be backed up. But you also can't really force someone on the dev side to suddenly learn what RTO and RPO is and like the best ways to like maintain SLAs and all that stuff. It's like that's not their purview, you know? And so what I've been noticing is like some organizations lean, when you ask them like who's responsible for backing up the containerized applications, like it can both go both ways. Like if we break it down to, are they more on the development side or the IT side? I've seen mixed answers. I will say though, over time, that it has been leaning more towards the IT side as they understand, like, hey, this is, if you're gonna be, running these applications more seriously, because they're running in production or they're critical, then we need to fold this into IT because it's kind of their responsibility. So I think we're seeing this shift because more of these applications are becoming more critical. They are running in production. And so I think that's what we're going to start to see.
So you mentioned the skill set, right? So backup administrators, right? And I'm sure there are still backup administrators, but I know it has shifted, right? I know India has a very large group of those that actually manage backups. And I remember that at one point, 15, 20, back when I was one, right? When I was a backup administrator, I mean, it was primarily a US-based skill set, and now things have shifted a little bit. And I think what I'm seeing just overall from a global perspective is that backups have completely, the configuration and management of backups have really moved into this really mundane task, right? And backup administrators like me, that when I was a backup administrator, we have taken on new skill sets, right? So we started diving into, learning about the virtual world, right? So VMware, and then cloud came along, right? So everyone started with AWS, right? And then you have Microsoft Azure, and then Google Cloud. So the skill set from that perspective, do you still see the backup skill set versus the DevOps and containerized world with Kubernetes and all of that still being a skill set? Or where do both of those skill sets meet, or if they're still completely divergent?
Yeah, and that's actually a very good point about like the backup skill set. It's your backup is a thing you do as part of your job, but you're not like backup admin, I would say, is not really the like it isn't its own role anymore. It's because you work in IT or on the storage side, actually, is where I'm mostly seeing it. It's like backup is part of your job, and it needs to be part of your skill set, but it can't be the only thing you do. So that's where I say the backup skill set would fall under. And then on the container side too. So like you have the DevOps side, and what I've been noticing is some organizations have, and I kind of wish they wouldn't use this term because I'm pretty sure it used to mean something else, but platform engineering or the platform engineer has.
SREs too, right? Site
Yeah.
reliability engineers.
Right. And the thing is, it's like I've seen platform engineer being used to mean the Kubernetes platform engineer. And for some organizations, that's an actual title slash role. For others, it's just this, you perform platform engineering activities as part of your job, but we don't call you a platform engineer because your actual role is like, sysadmin or something. But the point is what they're usurping this term, because like I said, I'm pretty sure it used to mean something else, but they mean this is the person who is responsible for everything around those Kubernetes applications. So that involves the storage that's behind it, the backing it up, securing it, and that whole category that I said about like data, container data management, and infrastructure data and infrastructure management, like everything that's necessary to support the containerized applications. Like this, there's a role that's kind of like based around that, and you need a little bit of DevOps and a little bit of like storage admin, backup admin, kind of like it's all fitting into that one new role. So that's one of the ways that organizations have been kind of like addressing this challenge.
And let's see if we can squeeze in one more question. It's for the all the backup vendors out there, all your Rubrix and Commvaults and Veeams and Veritas and Cohesity and Druva and Haiku and new one, right? Eon, right? Have you heard of them yet?
Yeah, Eon I'm not as familiar with.
They're out there now. So they have I think it's over 200 million VC.
Oh, wow.
And they just came out of stealth in January of 2024,
wow.
If I'm not jacking up any of this information, but it's EON .io, and they are a fast, very fast moving Israeli-based startup company that's on the backup scene, very highly deep into AWS technology right now. So yeah, you may want to check them out. But advice for backup companies just around containerizing workloads, and if you can kind of just based on your hat that you put on once you start analyzing and start working on that big masterpiece of a document that you publish at the end of so many months.
Yeah. So advice for these, you know, the technology suppliers, I would say, I would say that one of the things to pay attention to is certainly that VMware exodus, I guess, if you want to call it that. So there's definitely a lot of movement of organizations trying to containerize more of their once VM-based applications. They want to containerize that as much as they can. And so they're going to be looking for expertise. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that IT vendors in this, but that software vendors in this space could offer as service or as part of their selling motion is like expertise and advice on like how to help them do that. Because like I said, like the technology isn't really the thing or the tools isn't the thing that's missing right now. It's the expertise. It's the advice and that kind of stuff. For IT buyers in this space, I would say that you should be paying attention to certain vendors that really like kind of match where your own expertise level is. So like there are actually a lot of vendors in this space that offer like a backup product for containers, but for something like, I would say one of the most like advanced ones is Portworx and Portworx Backup, because Portworx Backup does the backup side of it. But then when you look at the larger product that Portworx Backup is part of, which is called Portworx Enterprise, that's probably a lot more than what some organizations are looking for in a container product if all they're looking for is to back it up, because Portworx Enterprise also encompasses like some storage provisioning type stuff, storage health monitoring for your containerized applications, and storage resource throttling if you're like, you know, oh, there's certain tiers of your applications, or containerized applications, that you're like, I they're not that important, so I'm not going to like let it consume this many resources at these hours of the day or something like that. It's like, that's a lot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so like, if you are that kind of organization, then you do your research and you find the kind of product that can support that. But if you're more of like, oh, I'm just dipping my toes in it, or my containerized applications aren't that critical, like they're kind of at that precipice of critical enough that I need to back them up, but not critical enough to the point where you know, like I need like full DR capabilities and it needs to be up again in like a minute or something. Like,
okay,
you start looking at things like Cloud Casa or by Catalogic, or you know, maybe even like open source Valero, so now you're not paying for it and you can kind of start dipping your toes in it. There's another open source product called Copia, which I don't know if it was specifically designed for containers, but it's really good for the container use case, because its whole thing is that it can narrowly focus on doing backup and restore on particular files and directories. So you can narrow it down to precisely the stuff that you need for containers. So you kind of like start
cool.
from there.
All right. Well, Johnny, any work that you are deep into right now that maybe you want to mention, or that you can mention, that you would like to bring up to the Data Protection Gumbo audience here?
I am like working on some interesting research on like the container adoption rates and like how people are going about backing up their containerized applications.
Any AI stuff in there?
No, I'm not enough of a, I'm not deep enough in those weeds to really talk about AI. I will say that I can say, related to containers though, that we've found that a lot of AI applications are that people are building are containerized. I don't know if that has more to do with AI or just the fact that, like, if you're going to be building a container, an application from scratch nowadays, you might you're going to, you know, use containers instead of, you know, the old ways.
All right. Well, Johnny, I appreciate your insights and knowledge around containerized workloads and also backing up containerized systems as well. So thank you so much. And before I let you go, I do want to let the audience know to check us out on YouTube at Data Protection Gumbo. And also, please go join the Backup and Recovery Professionals LinkedIn group. There's over 26,000 professionals in that group, so all skilled in cybersecurity, storage, backup recovery, and we even have some Bitcoin and blockchain experts in there as well. So there is a parallel and a correlation between blockchain as well as far as storing data securely. So Johnny, thank you so much again for being a guest on the show, and we'll see you around in the world of backup and recovery.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Demetrius. Have a good one.
All right.